association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 117. I'm Adam, and with me this week is Kirby Bartlett Sloan and Mr. Reese Parton.
Hello!
Yes, hello. He still exists, listeners. thank you for coming back on the show for a limited period of time. Are you going back to your normal schedule next week, I take it?
Next week is the last week of term at drama school, so for 2 weeks after next week I'll be able to be on the podcast again.
Hooray!
Hey!
And hopefully, also by then, fingers crossed, we might even have Robert back. Now, listeners, you may be wondering what's happened to Mr. Robert Haynes. He's had a sort of up and down health situations, really, where he's been in and out of hospital. So if you've seen him on Facebook occasionally posting comments, that's in the bits where he's been out, and where it's a bit quiet at the moment, it's bits where he's in. So he's having operations and tests and things done. Hopefully it's not as serious. Mark hasn't sent me any messages to say, you know, that it's as serious as it was that time when he was in a coma and stuff. So fingers crossed it's fairly routine. It'll, you know, help him. And you know, but he has been a bit poorly again. But knowing Robert, he's probably doing it with a great big smile on his face. So, right, I want to crack on with a bit of audio feedback because it's on Alicia's computer and the battery's just about running out. So this you might recognise from...
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. Oh, yeah. This is Ian Kirk. Smith and Jones by Russell T. Davies. At 4 minutes 30 seconds, Martha asks, "Have you got a brother?" And the Doctor replies, "No, not anymore." In the Virgin New Adventures books and in the Big Finish audio stories, the Doctor had a brother called Irving Braxitiel. The Doctor has become a patient so he can investigate plasma cores around the hospital. If Kirby is away at a Doctor Who convention, may I be pedantic?
Sure.
From the position of the Earth in the sky, they are near the moon of Pole in daylight. They will not see the stars in daylight. They make a big thing about only Martha being the only human to remain calm. Just like in school reunion, the Doctor uses his sonic screwdriver on a computer screen instead of on the computer. They have the red cable, blue cable cliché. When the hospital returns, the London Eye is in the background. As this was filmed in Swansea, it must be CGI. In this story, Anne Reed plays the plasma ball who kills the Doctor. In The Curse of Fenric, she played a nurse who is killed by a hemivore. Mr. Saxon is mentioned again. When Martha enters the TARDIS, the Doctor is standing a couple of feet from the coat rack, but he throws his coat over one of the coral supports instead.
Yes.
Yep.
In The Runaway Bride, reviewed
last
week,
he did that a lot.
Donna jumps out of a taxi and lands on top of the 10th Doctor. There was a Stephen Moffat story where River Song jumps out of a spaceship and lands on top of the 11th Doctor.
That's right.
I would not say he's copying Davies, but Ben might. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. No, there's a couple of good points there, actually. I'm not too
sure.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, sorry.
What's the point of my being here? He just did all my pedantic parts.
I'm sure he didn't take all of them. But yeah, the point about the daylight on the moon, is that actually the case, that you can't see the stars if the sun is shining on the surface of the moon?
Actually, I think that you can't.
Wonderful, you could. There's no atmosphere to it.
Let me check. I know what I read.
You're just going to go out there and check.
Yes, up you go.
Good.
Yeah, let's hear the sound of the TARDIS in the background as he deems all the rises. And then we hear the sound of the TARDIS in the background again when he rematerialises.
No, I've read an article someplace about that, and I believe that you can.
Planet Wikipedia, maybe.
No, it's not Wikipedia. It's, I believe, Bad Astronomy.
Bad Astronomy.
Yes, Bad Astronomy is it's actually Good Astronomy, but it's started out as a blog by Dr. Phil Plait to deal with people who didn't believe that man landed on the moon.
Oh. I thought you were going to say Dr. Phil Cerner when you said Dr. Phil. Then I thought, God, he's a proper,
no. proper there are a lot
man.
Of Dr. Phils around.
There must be.
There are, aren't they? Yeah.
Now, Kirby, you were at a Doctor Who convention.
I was?
Apparently.
Oh,
so.
Oh yes, that's right.
It's been widely reported. Well, as far as the wideness of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group is, that you've been at a convention. Please tell. Please tell.
Well, drove 2 hours down to Huntsville, Alabama, which is in northern Alabama, and that's where the Redstone Arsenal is, where they developed the Saturn V rocket for the moon landing, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This was Alabama's first Doctor Who convention.
Yep.
Had no actual Doctor Who stars or anything, but had a very enthusiastic group of fans. The planners had planned for, I believe, 100 people.
Yeah.
And had nearly 400 show up, and then another 60 or so on Sunday.
Fantastic. Wow.
Yeah.
Very, very fun. Lots of people to talk to. Could have used more programming with all those people, but hey, they thought that the programming that they did was going to be adequate for 100, and it would have been.
That's fantastic.
So
thought there was going to be 100 people turn up, did you say?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. They must have been rather pleased.
Yes.
I bet they were.
The dealer's room was great. I posted some pictures of the dealer's room. When I went to that convention last year, I was a bit disappointed because there wasn't a whole lot of Doctor Who stuff for sale at a Doctor Who convention. Here it was fantastic.
It's a bit of a shame, really. I noticed that you bought a couple of the character option figures.
Yes.
When you could have sent me the money and I would have sent you the whole lot.
Well, part of the fun of it was buying them and trying to figure out what was in them.
Oh, so it was like it was the packet, wasn't like the open figures. And it,
exactly.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. And everyone was going over to where they were and feeling the packet.
Yeah, that's what you do. You don't have to do that when it's a new... When it's a new range, you don't have to do that. You just sort of grab them and just hope you haven't picked the same figure over and over again, like happened to me when I bought 5 packets and ended up with 5 Cybermen. And
what do you mean you don't have to do that? What?
Well, no, normally when a new set comes out, well, I've only done 2 so far, haven't they? And you're just buying your first few packets of a new sort of range. Because obviously there's 2 series, Series 1 and Series 2 of these figures. Series 2 is the one that you get a Rory and a River Song. If they brought out a third one, obviously they will all be brand new figures, or just different varieties of old figures, but new nevertheless. And you can just buy, say, 5 packs, and you're more likely to have 5 different characters.
Oh,
but what happened with me was, when I bought my first packs, I ended up with 5 Cybermen.
Oops.
Mm.
Everyone wanted Daleks, and Daleks were easy to find.
Yes. Well, I've got all of the Daleks apart from the orange one, which only comes in a special playset. But I'm sure the next time they release a set of figures, the orange Dalek will be in that set. But again, they're easy to find.
A friend of mine came with me to the convention, one of my co-workers.
Yes.
And he bought the playset with the TARDIS. Mm-hmm. And so he got an extra Rory. I'm not an extra Rory. An extra Amy and the Doctor. And so that's how I got my Doctor figure.
All right. Well, I had the playset. I had the TARDIS playset in that thing. And I had it in the car on the dashboard, and Deb broke it when she got on one of her petulant tempers. And because it's lots of bits of tiny little pieces, one of the bits fell out of the car, and we were hunting around this multi-story car park in Nottingham trying to find it. Couldn't find it, and then I had to buy it, or she bought me another set when we were in a place where we could buy it.
Now, how much did they cost? How much did they cost?
£9 and 99 pence.
No, not the playset, the individual.
£1 and 99p, although Argos had them on offer a couple of weeks ago for 99p.
So that sounds like it's the same... Pretty much the same price. We were paying $3 a pack.
Yes.
Although one of the dealers had them for $5, but
it does rather depend on what figure it is, because there's some figures that are slightly rarer than others, and then there's some figures that are humongously rarer. Those are the ones that come with a gold, like a gold ticket, in fact, and you can get for instance, one of the Weeping Angels, but it's the half. Or the semi, the one, you know, the one in that's sort of not quite sort of materialised, the sort of semi-materialised version of it. That's a rare one. There's the Doctor in a football kit. Apparently that's a really, really rare one. River Song in a different outfit than the one that's more readily available. There's a handful of really, really mega rare ones, but if you look on eBay, you'll find these figures sort of somewhere around the £150 mark.
Wow.
Yeah, but...
So let me think. Other things from the convention. Someone had been saying on Facebook for weeks that there was going to be a TARDIS there, but all they had were cardboard stand-ups.
Right.
So maybe that was what they were talking about. But there was a full-size Dalek that was built right there in Huntsville.
Excellent.
I saw the picture you had with it.
Yeah, I saw the picture. It was superb. Brilliantly, designed.
Oh, great. Yeah, those it was built mostly by a real rocket scientist.
Yeah.
Who works there at for an engineering firm. He does propulsion systems.
Oh.
And it was really, really nice. And
I'm sure it was.
He apparently only started watching Doctor Who within the past year.
So did he allow people to have their pictures taken with it?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Because a lot of people are a bit funny about that.
We weren't allowed to touch the Dalek without permission.
Yeah,
but only Katie Manning could do that.
We were allowed to pose with it. There's lots of, if you go onto the Con Casterbris Facebook page, there's lots of pictures of people posing with the Dalek.
All right,
and lots of cosplay.
Yeah, I saw some of those pictures. Fantastic.
Lots
there was a video. The video that you posted from the news report, which was absolutely superb.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, the reporter knew about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And did an excellent thing where he superimposed himself on the news report, which was great.
Yeah.
And he got nearly all his facts right. I think he got the Doctor's age wrong.
Yeah, but you were in the background.
I
had to pause it to see it, but I did see it.
Well, not in the background. I was actually sort of in the
middle
foreground. Yeah, I was in the audience.
Well, when you're watching it on an iPhone, it does look like you're in the background. Obviously, quite a small screen.
And let's see. What else was going on? Let me take a look at the list of pictures here again. Just a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
There were... there was a silent there. No, I don't remember that. Two weeping angels. There was a seventh doctor. There was a second doctor. Lots of fourth. Lots of tenth. Lots of 11. And one ninth. The guy who built the Dalek
came
as the ninth doctor.
That was a good costume.
Yeah.
Did I put a picture of him as the ninth?
I've seen it.
I don't know where I saw it.
Maybe it was on the video, or maybe you did post a picture of it. Either way, I've seen it.
Maybe.
It's quite interesting, talking about the convention you went to. An associate of mine from the Who shop in Blackpool, Dave Simon, was posting pictures of an event he went to in which five living doctors were all together in one go, the sod. And he had his picture taken with them as well, the git.
Oh,
and he's posted that as his main profile picture. So I'm incredibly jealous. And next time I go up to Blackpool, Dave, you might get a bit of a slap. But
and then there was the one person who made a little jewelry copy of the Ronnie's TARDIS, the Pyramid TARDIS.
Yeah.
And she also had a T-Rex in a jar.
Oh, excellent. The cosplayers, I love their attention to detail. Well, I'm just going to have to duck out for a minute. Like, if you could just carry on talking, because I've got to go in. I don't know how long I'm going to be, so I've got to move Deb on to her next lady. So I will be back.
Oh yeah, there's a picture of the guy with the guy who built the TARDIS, the Dalek, in his ninth Doctor outfit. And he's gone. What are we going to do?
Panic.
Why panic?
I don't know, because I don't know what to talk about next. I don't know if he wants us to move on to reviewing the episode or not.
It depends on how long he's going to be out, because, it's only 2 miles each way on the Isle of Wight. He'll be back in a couple of seconds. She could have walked.
She could have done.
Yeah, I also got a plushy adipose that I wasn't sure if I wanted one of the stress ones, you know, where the adipose that you could squeeze, or a stuffed one, a plushie. And so I put the question out to Facebook and Twitter and had people recommend which one I should get. So I got the plushie one.
Hmm.
And my youngest daughter wants it, but it's mine.
So all yours.
I'm taking it to work this morning, where it's going to sit on my desk.
Oh. Have you given it a name yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I'll decide. It's got to sit on the desk for a few minutes, for a few days, and then I'll decide what its name is. So I'll probably have to get her one, but...
I can imagine her trying to steal it every time she goes to work with you. Or she ever goes to work with you.
Well, she's already tried to steal it. But no, the thing is that she will get these things, and she's 15, but she still likes stuffed animals like that. But she got a plushy cat bus from My Neighbor Totoro when she was like 8 years old and slept with it for years, and it's stuck in a drawer or something now.
Stuck in a drawer?
Yes, it's with all of her stuffed animals now that she doesn't do anything with them.
Oh.
She sleep with them. Anyway. Yeah, I
know what that's like.
I used to get this, I got a little TARDIS where you pull it back and it rolls forward and twirls.
Ooh.
It's called a wind-up TARDIS, but you don't really wind it up. It winds up by pulling it back on its wheels.
So it's a pullback TARDIS.
Pullback TARDIS, yes. They also had
Does it make the noise when you do that, or is it just...
No, it does not.
Oh.
There were lots of TARDISes that they had for sale that did make noise, including a cookie jar that was really cool, but a little bit expensive.
You'd know when someone was stealing the cookies, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
That was the worst TARDIS impression ever. There you go.
Oh, you want a TARDIS impression? I could call my phone. That was one of the really strange things. Is half the people there used the TARDIS sound as either their ringtone or their text tone on their phone. So you'd hear the sound every few seconds.
It sounds like a Gallifreyan
airport. Yes, exactly. And it was, so you had people checking their phones because you'd hear it in the room all over the place. And
imagine that.
And the people who didn't use that sound were using like little snippets of the theme tune. It was very strange once, though. I got a call from my geek daughter. Unfortunately, my daughters couldn't make it to the convention. I got a phone call from my geek daughter, and for her, my phone's a little unusual because instead of ringing with some Doctor Who thing, her ringtone when she calls me is the Merlin theme.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a little bit of a change of pace when she called me.
Well, it reminds me when I went to the Doctor Who Symphonic Spectacular, someone was wearing a Star Wars t-shirt to be different.
Oh, yeah. Now, didn't I see something, a rumor that there's going to be another proms?
I heard that too. Somebody posted about it on a group, but I haven't heard anything official. But, it would make sense. There's been a whole season/series since the last one.
Very good. You can learn.
So can you.
No, never.
Yes, certainly.
Okay, see. I forgot. I still need to check about seeing stars on the moon.
Oh dear. I don't think it really matters because not many of us will be able to experience it ourselves. So people being pedantic about that shouldn't really bother, I don't think. So have we got any news we could talk about? There's a second picture of Matt Smith and Jenna Louise Coleman on set with the TARDIS in the background and some of the crew.
Any more word about the character's name? It's been overheard, or at least one person has reported that they heard her referred to as Clara.
That's all I know at the moment.
But I've only heard about the one person hearing it, so don't know.
I think Stephen Moffat was asked about it, but he did his best not to say yay or nay.
Lots of people at the convention are listeners to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. It's very,
wow.
Very nice.
How'd you bring it up? Did you say, did you have a card or something? Or did you just say, I host a podcast?
The first panel that I went to on Saturday was on fandom. And, person running it, Lady S, we will probably hear a bumper on the podcast from her because I had recorded her saying, you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. She was talking about fandom and asked the audience how you express your fandom. And I piped up and said, hey, I'm on this podcast. And mentioned what it was, and everyone said, oh, I listen to that.
Wow. Well, hello, everybody. Send in feedback and tell us what you thought of the con.
Yes. Someone at the convention proposed marriage to his girlfriend during the convention in front of the Dalek.
Oh.
So the guy who made the Dalek has asked them if they want the Dalek at the wedding.
I wonder if he could marry them. You may now kiss the bride.
Yes. About how they built the Dalek, how the two guys built the Dalek, which is very interesting.
So what did the guy do with the what was his job again?
He's a propulsion engineer.
Does that mean he can make the Dalek hover?
Right. Actually, someone asked him that. No, and right now, what they're going to do, you know what Dragon Con is? Dragon Con is a gigantic convention over our Labor Day weekend here at the end of summer. It's a very large convention in Atlanta, which I want to go to, but I can't afford to. And there's lots of cosplay, lots of things there, and they're going to take the Dalek to Dragon Con, and by then he's going to put motors in it, and he's going to make it remote controlled. Yes, there is room for someone to be inside of it, but he didn't construct it so that you could put your feet down to shuffle along. He's going to have it remote controlled, and put either a recording in it so it can speak, or put a speaker in a wireless mic situation, in a modulator. And so it should be showing up. I believe this Dalek's name is... I don't remember this Dalek's name. I'll have to look him up.
Fred.
No, it's not Fred.
Oh. George?
The Dalek was the center of attention for some reason. There he is.
And he's back. Yay! He's just shaking his collar.
And he's back.
No, sorry. It was all quiet. I thought, are they still
there? We were waiting for you to talk.
Hang on, I've got my cable caught up with my chair. You know, oh, bollocks, and the chair fell over. Oh, then another chair fell over.
Oh. Domino effect.
It was, actually, exactly that. Right, what have I missed?
Nothing.
Not much. What? We filled in time talking a lot more in depth about the con.
Cool, that's good. I like
that. And you're going to have to edit out some long... Long pauses. And
what, just like the long pause you just did then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still asleep.
No excuses. Oh. Anyway, talking about...
You can say I'm just phoning it in.
Yeah. You know, I thought of a brilliant idea once when I was waiting for her. I could have phoned myself up on my mobile and then continue to talk to you on the mobile while I was out and about in the car. And bearing in mind that I think she said quarter past. Oh, God. I've got to go off again. I might just try that.
Okay.
It'd be experimental, and I've still got £2.71 of Skype credit left, so I might as well use it as best I can. Right, so, yes, this convention, Kirby, apparently you met up with a few people and managed to pin them down and get them to say messages.
Yes.
And I have some of those messages of ready to play.
Ooh. Cool.
Hi, this is Bonnie, one of your con chairs from Conquistavers here in Huntsville, Alabama, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Podcast.
This is Courtney, I'm at Concaster Boris, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hi, this is Justin Hudson at Concaster Boris, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hi everyone, this is Lady S from Concaster Boris. You are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hi, I'm Lori, one of your con chairs from Conquistavers here in Huntsville, Alabama, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
This is Matthew Kressel at Conquest Cerberus. You are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
You said one of them wasn't a listener to the show, but the other six were.
The other five were, yes.
Five, sorry.
Yeah, total of six.
I'm rather chuffed by that. That all five listeners to the show are at the same convention.
There were more than that who listened to the show.
What, at the convention?
Yeah.
Blimey.
As I was telling Reese while you were gone, I went to this one thing at the very beginning of the convention about Doctor Who fandom, and the one of the people you've got a recording of there, Lady S, asked the audience how you do, what sorts of things people do in their everyday lives to kind of express their fandom of the show. And I said, oh, I'm on this Doctor Who podcast, and mentioned what it was, and people clapped, actually.
Oh, my God.
I listened to that.
Wow.
I heard it all over the room.
Oh, my goodness. That's I feel rather nervous now. Hello, everybody. Hello. Anyway. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
No, and also while you were gone,
yes,
I did find on the Bad Astronomy page where, yes, you very definitely can see the stars from the moon, even if the sun is up. You can't see them immediately around where the sun is.
No, you wouldn't be able to. You'd probably get blinded instantly.
Exactly, but they're faint, but yeah, you can see them. But they don't show up in pictures.
Oh, right.
It's the reason it's on that page, which is it's on a page which is discussing why people who think that the moon landing was hoaxed are crazy. And one of the things they use is the fact that you can't see stars in the pictures. But that's because the exposure is fairly low. That's all.
Of course. Now, I'm just sidetracking slightly because, bearing in mind the problems I've had on previous shows where I've lost my audio completely and have to do some genius editing to get the show actually to work, and I'm now recording my audio on three different devices. One of them is GarageBand on the Mac, which is what I'm currently speaking to you through. Hello.
Hello.
It's rather superb, GarageBand. I wish I had the facility to use it because it's got a special track just for the actual graphic, the show graphic, I've just noticed while watching the wiggly line go across the screen. It's really, really good. So I might one day...
And if you were to use that, I believe that that's set up so that if you put that in, it would show the graphic on iTunes and would show it on the iPod. Because right now when I see the show on the iPod, it has no graphic.
Well, it should do. Right. It comes up on my iPhone with a graphic. Does it come up on yours with a graphic, Reese? Oh, no, you don't listen to it, do you? Sorry, I shut up.
Yes, I do. I missed the last episode, but I do listen to it.
Oh, yeah, that was the Reese Parton tribute special, and you missed it.
Oh, I could just download it now.
All right, then. I'm going to be here now for the next half hour, so I thought it might be a good
Smith
idea
and
to crack on with a bit of Smith and a bit of Jones. Just remind me, in 33 minutes, I have to go and move
slam down. Something.
It's really chucking it down here at the moment. It's supposed to be summer. It's just constant rain. Absolute nightmare. Right then, Smith and Jones by Mr. Russell T. Davis.
Never heard of him.
No pre-title sequence this time. I think this is the first time the new series hasn't had a pre-title sequence.
Rose.
Apart from Rose.
And it's too bad, because they could have actually done that whole business at the very beginning as a pre-title sequence.
Yeah, apparently when they did originally intend to do that, but... it would have the pre-title would have ended up a bit odd. It didn't quite go right. The original plan was that the doctor actually would be sort of unconscious in the hospital, and that would be, oh my god, the doctor's dead or whatever. But there was a reasons why, if you listen to the commentary by RTD and David Tennant, why they actually didn't go down that road in the end. But
that's not fair. You got a chance to listen to it with. To listen to the commentary,
it's
and
the
I
first
did.
Time I've done it since we started these reviews. I'm so glad I did. I watched the program and then I watched it again with the audio, the thingy. So I thought I'd be.
Oh, I don't know, Kirby. Adam's listening to the audio commentary and he's being pedantic. You're slipping.
Well, no, it was afterwards.
Busy.
You said, yeah, but afterwards you said you hadn't. So I was quite pleased I did. Now, anyway, so yeah. Martha is like walking to work, chatting to a family on the phone, and what an annoying family they are they not?
Oh. Yes.
The dad apparently in the episode won't appear for another 10 episodes, so he was in that one and again he won't appear for another one. I keep on getting funny noises. Are people coming online that are in any relation to the show?
No. I just heard some ear flapping. Sorry.
That wasn't
yeah
me.
I'll stop doing that.
I can guarantee it wasn't me because my ears aren't big enough. So the dad won't appear for another 10 episodes. There was talk that Reggie Yates, who plays the brother whose name eludes me, he was just too busy because he's a Radio 1 DJ, etc., and TV presenter. He presents The Voice UK in this country, along with Holly Willoughby. He's a very busy man. Why
the
didn't
character's
get
name
Dr.
is Leo.
Leo, that's it, yeah. But hasn't done a lot of acting since then. It's just radio and TV work. But,
and apparently the actress who played Annalise hasn't done much of anything either.
No, indeed. Anyway, apparently RTD said that he wanted her to play like a Big Brother contestant, which is rather topical at the moment because Big Brother has just started back up again. And yes, she is very, very Big Brother contestant-y. Sorry, Ben, but that's the case. This is what RTD said. You're a big fan of RTD. RTD is a big fan of Big Brother. Ha 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 ha. Hence, Big Brother was in Series 1. So, anyway, right. The doctor comes up to her and says, like so, see, and takes off his tie. Martha walks to where she works, which is the Royal Hope Hospital, and a man with a helmet on barges into her without apologising. Now, these men with helmets were just leather creatures, weren't they? And they had a funny name. Go on.
I thought it was a Stig's cousin.
Well, I was going to say that! I said it was like like a negative of the Stig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's a Stig?
Stig is a somebody from Top Gear who drives cars very fast, but is a mystery person. So they just have them dressed in white leather.
White version of what those guys.
I've never watched that show. Oh,
no,
sorry.
No, but that's basically where the Stig's from.
Yeah, the Hemovore or whatever it is calls them slabs.
The student doctors are being like they're going on their rounds and. They stop, well, yeah, because they've been taken around by Roy Marsden, who's as David Tennant called him, Sir Roy Marsden, because he's the type of actor that could get knighted at some point. He plays Mr. Stoker, and RTD didn't notice the name Bram Stoker in naming this character Mr. Stoker.
Yeah, I saw that in some of the notes that he thought he was naming Mr. Stoker after some other character not thinking about Bram Stoker, and it was the people who did the set decoration who put the B in front of Stoker on the name thing.
That's right, yeah. More helmeted chaps are in the hospital, so there's a few of them.
There's two. No, yeah. there's only two.
There is only two, okay. It makes it look like there's more, because you see one and then you see two together, which is obviously that same one and another one.
And one of those costumes is up for auction right now. Oh, I saw it the other day.
Well, honestly, I was going back to the student doctors on their rounds. Obviously, the first person they come to is the lady, Mrs. Oh, I can't remember her name. Oh dear, not awful. She had a name, didn't she? But never mind.
What, Florence Finnegan?
Her, yes. They come up to her and they sort of are asking questions to her initially. And then the next person they come to, of course, is the doctor in his pyjamas.
John Smith.
Is it the same pyjamas he had in the Christmas
Yes, it's the same pyjamas, and he's later wearing a dressing gown, which is the same one.
Excellent. So that's the fact that he actually took those pyjamas and kept them. The students arrive at the doctor's bed. He denies bumping into Martha because Martha said, oh, I've seen you before, sort of thing, you know, and he denies doing it because he would do because he hasn't done it yet, and says his name is John Smith. The consultant, which is Roy Marsden character, Mr. Stoker, gets a shock from the clipboard, and then everybody starts saying that they also got shocks from various things, and what's his name again? Mr. Stoker then said that's because there's a thunderstorm coming, but as we see later on, the thunderstorm is only around the hospital itself. The doctor talks of Benjamin Franklin as if he's like an old friend, which is typical doctor.
By the way, the Bonham's auction house has the slab guard costume up for auction. Estimate of 300 to 400 pounds.
Wow. The people in them didn't look particularly big, did they? They like a very, very slim build.
And it's just the leather costume. It's not the helmet.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's a rip-off.
Yeah.
Definitely not worth the money then. anyway, as I said, there's a thundercloud that is only over the hospital, and then the rain starts going upwards. There's a massive rumbling, like an earthquake. After a few sort of shakes around with the camera and the bright lights coming through the windows, suddenly it goes very dark. And then they realise that they're on the moon, or Martha realises they're on the moon. And then she says, we're on the bloody moon! which is the first time bloody has been used in Doctor Who, thanks to, apparently, to the influences of the character Ron Weasley saying bloody in the Harry Potter movies. Because, of course, Ron Weasley does not swear in the books at all. So that's a writer's licence for the...
So they said they mentioned that letters. In the commentary? Is that where you got that?
Oh, I've been rumbled. Yes!
I didn't hear that at all.
This is the sort of thing that you and Robert would come up with. So I'm trying to help you out here. You know. There's panic in the hospital, apart from Martha and the old lady who is called, and again, what's her name again? Finnegan?
Florence Finnegan.
Her
bindi straw.
It was mentioned how brilliant the extras are in these scenes, because you see a lot of expressions and on Scott close-ups, unusual for extras scenes, but you do see quite a lot of extras looking scared, and they do a great job.
Yes, they do.
Martha begins trying to help people. Of course, the doctor's sort of watching this out the corner of his eye. She realises that the air should have been sucked out of the hospital, because there's a moment when she's going to open the window, and her friend, don't do that, and all the air will be sucked out. She said, well, if it's only glass, it would have been sucked out anyway. She was quite clever of her. The doctor says, shall we go outside? Martha says, why not? And the doctor says, we might die. Martha says, we might not. Which is quite a good dialogue between them two. The doctor is wearing a brand new blue suit. Which is interesting, because that reminded me of the pictures I've seen of the 11th Doctor with the character whose name hasn't been confirmed yet. The screenshots was of his new costume, which I absolutely love. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Very reminiscent of the 8th Doctor in some ways, but in green, I thought. I haven't really been able to look at it in great detail, but it certainly got an air of the 8th Doctor about it. It's all gone quiet over there. Yes.
Whatever you say.
Well, I was just thinking about this, because when we stopped recording last time, Kirby, you said about there was a report that they had actually named...
Yeah, we were discussing that while you were gone.
Oh, you have. I'll shut up then. Martha mentions to her cousin about her cousin Adeola, who died at Canary Wharf. That wasn't absolutely necessary, but I suppose some people, you know, would think, oh, she looks exactly like, it's a bit odd. And the next episode, you know, she's in playing a completely different character. So I suppose it's just a quick line they put in there.
I liked that they did that.
Mm. Yeah, that's all right. That's okay. I don't mind it. Doesn't.
And it also put her in the list of people who've played multiple parts on Doctor Who.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like her mother, in fact.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Then, of course, the Doctor introduces himself as the Doctor. 100 people...
Just the Doctor.
Yeah, 1,000, sorry. 1,000 people will suffocate because of the limited air captured in the bubble, apparently.
That's a lot of people in that hospital.
It's a big hospital. Mm. And a lot of people not very well, obviously. The spaceship arrives. There's a camera shake that RTD did not want when the spaceship was arriving. He said that it wouldn't shake, and also he wouldn't be able to hear it. Various other little things that people always say about sci-fi things, you know, the fact that you hear spaceships.
Yeah, I saw the camera shake and heard the noise and thought, oh, okay, fine. But yeah. I didn't realize he didn't want it.
He didn't want it. And he's a producer. Surely he would have had final word on that one.
Yeah. But
if he said, I don't want it, they should have said, well, okay, don't have it then. But of course, the director obviously managed to persuade him to keep it in. the Jadoon stomp over to the hospital.
They yawn.
All right, but you wouldn't have been able to hear that as they're on the surface of the moon going chug, chug, chug. Fans apparently complained that they look like Centaurans, but RTD says that not quite as much as the Doctor looks human, so that didn't matter. That was a really good way of putting it, I thought.
Mm.
Miss Finnegan...
Yeah, in the script, there, anytime the Jadoon are referred to as marching from one place to another, the script refers to them as yomping.
Oh, okay. Is that an actual word? Or?
Yeah, it's Royal Marine slang for a long-distance march carrying a full kit.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
British Army uses a different term.
Which
tab.
Is? Okay, fair enough. Miss Finnegan enters the office of Mr. Stoker. So do her helmeted friends. She acquires Mr. Stoker's blood after Mr. Stoker talks about his he won't see his daughter again. And this is because he thought that he wasn't going to see his daughter again because he was going to suffocate on the moon. But in fact, it was because he was going to have all his blood sucked out by Miss Finnegan. More panic ensues as the Jadoon stomp you prefer to use that word if you don't mind through the force field. We are citizens of planet Earth. We welcome you in peace, says I've forgotten his name. Oliver, wasn't it?
Oliver
Morgenstern, brilliant name.
He also did not panic, so I don't know why the reference was made that it was only Martha who didn't panic.
Fair enough, that was my fault. Sorry.
And the Doctor didn't panic either.
That's true. Well, I did mention that was obvious that was going to happen. But Jadoon assimilate English via Oliver himself.
Sentence.
Yes, and mark up everyone as human.
Can I just say about the Jadoon and their voice?
Yeah.
Nick Briggs says he, in an interview, he said he had no idea what he was getting into when he made up that voice. And after that, he actually had to read a book where one of the main characters was a Jadoon, and he hated it because he had to go, oh, go, oh, go, the whole time, almost all day.
That was really close version of it, actually. Maybe if you have a word with Mr. Briggs, he might be able to fill in for him on a few occasions, Reese. Very good.
Maybe.
Now, they only made one of the articulated heads, and everyone else has just a helmet.
That wasn't in the show notes or in the commentary. Thank you for that.
although the head that they made was really, really cool.
It was, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about the fact that Russell T. Davis wanted it to look like a rhino's head with one horn, until, of course, later on he discovered that rhinos, in fact, have two horns.
Well, it's not... It has two horns.
Yes,
look
it does.
At it.
It does. That's what I'm saying. Originally, he asked for something that looked like a rhino with one horn.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
And then he was educated on the rhinos.
Yes. Yes, the Doctor tells Martha that he isn't human. Someone smashes a vase over a Jadoon's head and is executed for, what was it, assault of, or some sort of assault, wasn't it? Can't remember what the word
was. Justice is swift.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Then the Jadoon platoon upon the moon line, which the Doctor says.
I should have had spoons.
Hey, you missed the whole thing. We had the little thing about the Doctor liking the shop in the hospital again.
Doctor liking the world.
Oh yes,
yeah. He likes shops and hospitals.
There should be a little shop just right there at the door.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that was definitely mentioned in the commentary, but I forgot it. Thank you for bringing that up.
And the last time he made a reference to it was at the hospital on Earth.
Yes, that's it. Yes. Then the Doctor sonics some things. Martha finds Miss Finnegan, the fugitive the Jadoon are actually after, and she and the Doctor run through a few corridors. Which is, yeah, Doctor Who in a way, isn't it? They arrive in the like a radiology.
This was filmed at two different hospitals, correct? One of which was a decommissioned hospital, and yes, that's why all that stuff was. Although it looked good because it was, they'd gone through the gravity scoop.
Yeah.
It with all the ceiling tiles and everything hanging down, but it was that way just because it's abandoned, wasn't it?
I think so, yes. And yeah, it did lend to the effect really, really well.
It did.
Yeah. They, as I say, they arrived in like a radiology type room, which is also seems to have a
hello clock.
Oh, God. Also seems to have a a CT scanner or something like that in it. Anyway,
MRI.
The Doctor kills one of the what are they called again? Those helmeted
slabs.
Slabs. That's it. Kills one of them, and then he absorbs the radiation, like he
why
did.
Why didn't do that again later on?
Yeah,
hey?
Yeah. With Wilf, you mean? Why didn't he just step out of that little thing and kick off his Converse All Star? Yeah, and that's it. He would have been fine.
Well,
he wouldn't have had to regenerate.
This was just child's play, Röntgen radiation. Whereas the radiation at the end of time was. With a more complex.
Okay, if you're spying that away really well. The Doctor, like I say, he expels it through his shoe and then kicks his shoe off and then takes his other shoe off and decides to go barefoot on the moon.
I like that.
It does a little weird dance, which of course he does a similar type thing in the next series with Cass and Tate in the episode with. What's her name again? That writer that used to do
drama. Agatha Christie?
That's
Agatha
the one.
Christie?
See, I'm just testing.
Yes.
Anyway, the slab.
you remembered what it was.
Solid leather. Yay. All the way through, apparently. Solid leather. So leather is basically cow skin, isn't it? Or cattle skin.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that it's made of cattle skin all the way through. It's solid leather all the way through. That made me think, what? What are they doing? They're like killing loads of cows and making them into human shapes.
It doesn't necessarily have to be... you can make leather out of any sort of animal skin, so maybe
Well, I thought specifically leather was the skin of a cow type creature.
No.
All right, fair enough. I stand corrected. Still a bit silly.
I'll correct you even more in a second.
Well, yeah, go on then. The Doctor's sonic screwdriver.
Leather is a durable and flexible material created
from. He's got Wikipedia
by the tanning,
open again.
By the tanning of. Animal rawhide and skin, often cattle hide.
And you believe everything that's ever written on Wikipedia?
Huh?
Never mind.
And you can do it from... Today, most leather is made of cattle skin, but many exceptions exist. Lamb and deer skin are used for soft leather and more expensive apparel. Deer and elk skin are widely used in work gloves and indoor shoes. Yeah, okay. Pig skin is used in apparel on seats of saddles. And, of course, there's... American football.
Oh, sorry. Have you finished? Right. where do we get up to? Dr. Sonic screwdriver is broken.
Oh.
He tosses it away.
Doesn't it show up again later?
Does it?
I think I read someplace that there is a continuity error where he accidentally has it again. Although I'm not sure forgetting, about that. I keep forgetting to look for that.
No, what
that
I heard was
a pretty huge continuity error.
What I heard was that there was in the filming a continuity error, but then somebody was watching the rushes and said to RTD, "Well, how can he possibly be using that? It's just been broken." And then they
good,
took it
okay.
out.
Okay.
Yep,
so that's what it was.
Yeah, so, but yes, he throws it over his shoulder. So what got me thinking there was, because he's just discarded it and it's lying in that hospital room somewhere, somebody could pick that up. Oh, look at this. I'll have that. It's a bit of alien artifact. I'll flog that on eBay. Rather like they were doing one episode of Torchwood, I seem to remember. But yeah, there is a sonic screwdriver, a broken sonic screwdriver out there somewhere. In fact, in some ways, there may be two broken sonic screwdrivers out there somewhere, because remembering what happened to the 10th Doctor's screwdriver when the 11th Doctor had it for a short period of time in the 11th Hour.
And there's a sonic pen in a dustbin from...
A sonic
pen from...
Oh, right, yes.
Partners in Crime.
Oh, right. Of course.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So there's a few artifacts available on eBay. Maybe they can revisit them at some point. The Doctor works out that Miss Finnegan assimilated blood because she is a shape changer. Shape... Should I say that one? Shape changer. When the Jejunes scan her, she will register as human if she's been drinking human blood, apparently.
Human blood.
The Jejunes register the Doctor as non-human, and then the Doctor and Martha start running again.
Run! It is so reminiscent of the very first scene in when the Doctor meets Rose.
Yes.
Mm.
Of course, the oxygen is running out. They demonstrate this on regular occasions by showing an oxygen level sort of on a like an oxygen cylinder going down to
which is kind of silly. But
it is a bit silly. And Russell T. Davies said, "Well, how else were they going to demonstrate this?" So I can forgive it for that
symbolism.
There wasn't really, and apart from the people just fainting, but that doesn't sort of indicate how low the oxygen levels actually are. So I forgive them.
They did show people using oxygen tank. So.
Oh yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and Martha says that she's running on adrenaline at that particular time. Miss Finnegan is a plasmavore.
I thought she was running on the floor.
Shut up. Martha. Yeah, exactly. The Doctor asks Martha to hold the Jadoon up, and then snogs her. And she's quite impressed by this kiss, as you can see by the expression on her face. obviously, the Doctor had been training from me. Not particularly cool. The Doctor engages in small talk with Miss Finnegan, but she gets him restrained by the last remaining
slap. I love
slap.
His little things when he went in there and is acting like he doesn't know anything.
Now, apparently, he was originally supposed to be doing this in his own Scottish accent because he was pretending he was someone else, but then they decided not to do that for one reason or another. If you listen to the audio commentary, you'll see why.
Is it because they use that gag in Tooth and Claw?
Not necessarily, no. No, I can't think why. I can't remember now. Obviously, it wasn't that important.
Okay.
Then Miss Finnegan reveals her dastardly plan. It was very dastardly.
Yes.
I'm surprised she didn't go at the end of it.
You sure she didn't?
You know, some people don't like comic episodes, but this had just the right touch of comedy.
Oh yeah, it was all right.
It did.
It was a typical opening story, really, wasn't it? They did rather go down this road with, because obviously the next one is Partners in Crime, which is a similar type of sort of light-hearted thing. So
yeah,
the Doctor convinces Miss Finnegan to assimilate again, as in assimilating him, and this time the straw is attached to his neck. They scan the Doctor, and he is confirmed dead. Now, apparently, they explained away in the audio commentary why he didn't regenerate, that obviously because they say that they can choose not to. So on this occasion, for some reason, the Doctor chooses that he's not going to regenerate. But there you go. That's what I'm
saying. Well, if Romana can choose various bodies, then...
Oh yeah, I agree that the Time Lords can decide not to regenerate, because the Master did so at the end of this series. But it just seemed, of all the times the Doctor's been engaged in certain things, and on this particular occasion he decides that he's not going to regenerate.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed a bit trivial, that particular occasion.
Oh, I ran across the thing where Miss Finnegan is doing her kind of evil stuff, and I love her statement. Those pink cheeks and those blonde curls and that simpering voice. She deserved it. About whoever it was that she had killed.
Right, so Miss Finnegan, I'll begin again. See, we don't need Ben on this show. Monomagnetic pulse is overloading and the Jadoon Scarpa. Everyone is suffocating. Martha then CPRs the doctor with her last oxygenless breath, which was quite interesting. She tells the doctor that something was done to the scanner before just passing out, and the doctor then unplugs a choice between a red or a blue connector thing, and he sort of chooses what blue, I think it was. It was the red he disconnected, wasn't it?
The red one.
Cut the red one.
And then a very sort of iconic scene of him carrying her body before, and then saying, come on, Jadoon, reverse it, and then the rain starts going upwards again, and then suddenly they're back in the middle of Swansea. Yeah, I mean, London. of course, during putting this thing right, he looked around for his sonic screwdriver for a few seconds and realised he didn't have it. Of course, he wouldn't have needed it anyway, because all he had to do was prise apart a couple of cables. Like I say, just at that point, the oxygen would have run out.
And it rushes back in pretty quickly, doesn't it? They must have real good ventilation hospital.
It should do. It's a hospital. As long as there's no Legionella in the system, they're fine. Tish is revealed... Revealed. Tish is relieved to find her sister is okay, and we also at that point don't know this, but she's actually working for Professor Lazarus at this stage. Interesting point they pointed out in the commentary. The doctor leaves in the TARDIS and Martha sees him go, and then Oliver Morgenstern, which seems to be the hero of the moment, says on the radio that Mr. Saxon was right, we're not alone in the universe. And then after the party for Reggie Yates, what's his name again, her brother,
Leo,
yeah. After they have a row, an unseemly row in the street, and Martha then sees the doctor leaning rather nonchalantly up against a corner of a wall, and then follows him to the TARDIS. The doctor has a brand new sonic screwdriver. Don't know where he got that from. Probably made it. I don't know. Maybe the TARDIS made it.
The TARDIS did the same thing that it did at the beginning of the 11th hour.
Fair enough. He invites Martha to travel with him and proves that he can time travel by going to meet her in the morning in the street, like he did at the beginning of the episode. And then at that time I really enjoyed that bit, actually, when I watched it, when it originally went out. And of course we see the vote Saxon posters in the background.
He says that something about how you're not supposed to cross your own time, but except for cheap tricks.
Yeah. And of course, the interesting thing is that David Tennant spotted the vote Saxon posters in the background. RTD tried to make out he'd only just decided the end of the series at that point, even though he also said that he'd included some things in Torchwood. And as we spoke a couple of weeks ago, there's a Saxon reference in the previous episode in the the Christmas special. So there you go. And then Martha says it's bigger on the inside. Is it?
I hadn't noticed.
But you see the doctor mouthing the words, it's bigger on the inside. Apparently,
yeah, I love that.
That bit was David Tennant's idea to include that little bit.
He's a wonderful man.
He is. The doctor says Martha can have one trip as she's not replacing Rose. And I note my last notes were, I love Doctor Who.
I didn't see that in the episode.
No, that's my own personal notes. At the end of my notes. Now, I've now got to go and find Deb. So what I'm going to try and do is phone my phone. Hang on, let's see if I can get this to work. Hang on.
Oh no, it's feedback.
I nearly clicked on the hang up button. That would have been terrible, wouldn't it? Now, people. Hang on.
Oh.
It's got my name on it, but I don't know if it's my name as in... Oh, it is me.
Ooh.
Hang on.
Wow. Oh,
there's weird things happening to the Skype.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hey, this is really cool, isn't it? Right, I'm just going to connect my hands free.
Wow. This is all technical.
High tech podcasting.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. Right, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Bit of echoing going on. Don't quite know, because I'm coming through the system in this room. Right, I'm just about to leave the house. Shut up, dogs. Right. Okay.
No, that's a little bizarre.
Right, there we go.
All right. Okay.
I'm outside now. Right.
I don't know if
I'm chucking it down. But the rain is going downwards at this particular point.
At least it's not going up. You could be
turn the radio off.
Gravity.
I can't remember. I dropped her off now. No, hang on. Let's put this. Right, I'm on my way.
It's a small island.
The car. Okay?
It's a small island. You don't have to go very far.
She's not feeling very well. So normally she walks, as you well know, because I only during when I'm recording, I normally only get asked to move her from one customer who lives about a mile away from her next customer. Normally she just walks around or the other one. Where did I drop her off? I think it was Fellows Road, right. Okay. So I'm just driving up Park Road. I'm driving past a house which has a Dalek in the window, and I'm wondering if that might be Roy Spearman's house. I don't know for sure, but not only have they got a Dalek in the window, he's got a car parked outside with a little Dalek air freshener in it.
I got a couple of little stickers to go on my car, one of a TARDIS and one of a sonic screwdriver. But the sonic screwdriver one I'm going to put on the lid of my laptop.
Oh. Is this what you picked up at the convention?
Ooh. Yes.
Sorry, I put a picture. Just around the corner.
I put a picture of them on Facebook.
Excellent. Oh, yes, I think I saw them, actually. We can't have
it. You might have seen my desktop on my laptop there in the background as well is a Ood.
Ood. Love an Ood.
I'm just signalling when I don't need to signal. It's a bit silly of me.
Ooh, we're distracted. Yeah, he's on the phone in the car.
Somebody just decided to drive around a blind corner in the middle of the road, which is not the most safest way to drive. Right, I'm just turning down Fellows Road now. Pardon me. We can talk about the episode. It's all right. I'm just doing a running commentary on the trip to where Deb is. She probably won't be particularly impressed with the fact that I'm talking to you lot.
Yes.
There you go. I'll soon find out. I'm parking up now outside the house she's supposed to be at.
Okay. Boy, that is a small island.
She's quite not that far away, but got to bear in mind she's not feeling very well and it's raining. She's got a great big, massive case to carry around. Right then, yes, for this episode. Reese, did you get a chance? I'm pretty sure you mentioned yesterday that you might be able to come on the show, and I think I said you were watching this episode. Did you get a chance to see it?
I didn't, but I have seen it recently because ABC2 had been repeating all the previous episodes, so I managed to catch it a while ago.
Good. Right then, go on. Give us your thoughts then.
Well, I thought it was maybe at the time it was broadcast the best beginning of a season/series we'd had for New Who. I mean, I liked Rose, but this was a lot of fun to watch. And as Kirby said, it put humour in the well, as well as having dramatic tension with rain going up and taking the hospital to the moon and having these fantastic characters in the Jadoon being introduced. And I thought of it as kind of a, almost like watching a movie. It was on a really big, grand scale when I first saw it.
Yes.
Yeah. But they did say that they seem to have the budget to put lots of special effects in the first episode of a series. And lots in the last episodes of the series. You know, the what not used to be two-parters at the end and the one-parter at the beginning. So that would explain why the effects are pretty good in this one. And they still hold up quite nice, even though it's about 6 years old, isn't it? 6, 7 years old? It's 6 years, isn't it? Five years old, even. Oh, I'll get it right in a minute. But, yeah, that was like the bit where the hospital's been taken out. They've got the great big crater there. I suspect there probably would have been a bit more gas and stuff sort of hissing out of the crater. maybe a bit of a hazard with open gas mains, and possibly there might have been a few fires down there or whatever. And also, when it went back, they all connected up again quite nicely.
Yeah, it kind of heals itself.
Yeah. Another thing that seems to be sort of glossed over a little bit, that they were able to sort of put it back exactly as it was.
I don't know why, but I never thought of that, but it's a good point.
I mean, electrical connections. Also, talking about electrical connection, I take up the hospital itself had its own
generators
that were actually within the building.
Most hospitals do.
Yeah, well, they're not like underground, they're actually inside the building, because obviously none of the lights went out at all when it landed on the moon. Everything was up and running as per
normal. Usually it's like a little separate building close by.
Yeah.
It has the generators. But
no, they must have taken that with it. Yeah. So, I have to admit, I wasn't really looking forward to watching this episode.
Why?
I don't know. It's not one of the ones that sort of stands out of me as being one of the better ones, but I did thoroughly enjoy it. As I said at the end of my notes, I love Doctor Who. It's a good, fun Doctor Who story.
This is a story that I go back when I went just a nice Doctor Who viewing experience. I'll go back to this one quite a bit because it's just a nice one to put on and enjoy. I was looking at the Shakespeare Code and thinking, oh, I don't want to watch this one again, because for some reason it was one that I had not been originally impressed by. And I started watching it kind of reluctantly and was pulled right back into it and really enjoyed it when I watched it the other night too, because I wasn't sure if you were going to do Smith and Jones with someone else, and then we were going to be doing Shakespeare Code today.
Yes, I know. That's because I thought there might be a chance of recording with Alicia this week, but she's about as easier to catch a halibut than it is to catch Alicia with her bare hands. She's so elusive. When it comes to... Now, what she'll do is she'll suddenly sit down next to you at 10 o'clock at night and say, do you fancy doing the podcast? And say, I'm just about to go to bed. I want to do it now. And you've got to watch an episode before we do that. And Deb's just about riding, so I've got to let her into the car. I won't be affected. And Magic's just barked at me. This is bizarre. I've got the other end here. It's just really bizarre. But I can hear Magic barking at the other end.
Yes.
Which is really... It's probably the telepathic powers of magic that he knows Deb has just come into the car. Or TARDIS, I should say. Right.
Is she in the car yet?
She's in the car. Hang on, I'll stick that in your logo. Oh, don't you want to speak to Kirby and Riz? Oh.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Just Magic. Well, she's on the inroad. Where are we going then? Bellevue quickly. Is that safe to go quickly? And then these... The shame is,
I know.
You should have said the next port of call after now is Bellevue Road.
Again, you never listened to me.
That's because you didn't say it. No, you didn't.
You never listened to her.
I always listen to her.
Not very well.
Right, hang on. What do you want to bother them then? Hang on, there's a car coming. I can't pull out now. The bus coming in the opposite direction. That's why the bus has pulled in. Oh, there's another car coming. Perfecting. Right, that bus should stay where it is, and I should have a chance. There's a bit of a traffic jam down there. I'm on my way. Right. But, Magic just barked out the blue deck. At nothing. That's about 300 yards away.
Oh, this is quality podcasting.
It's quite ironic because this learner driver car has just cut me up in over the junction. So she drove over the bit where I'm supposed to be, and it's somebody teaching someone how to drive. So, but also, where are we going? I'm supposed to slow this out. Right, is this the last one? Is this the last one?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, so how long is this for then? I thought we said you were sending for three.
Yeah, but yeah, I want this one me. I shall give you a week to hopefully pick me up before you pick up
the bellow.
And then I can get
Kelly. Coming up the road. Is it going to wait for me? Oh no. Is it waiting for me there? Yes, it is.
Quality podcast.
He's probably going to do me a... Is it a woman? I waved a bit.
Are you there yet? Are you there yet?
I'm here. I'm in Bellevue Road now. Right. I'm getting out.
Oh, that tells everyone lots.
Well, I'm just stepped out of the car. I'm just carrying out the case that my wife uses for work. I haven't got a coat on. There's a dead snail there. Don't tread on it. And are you going to call me or what? You're going to call me back. And...
What's she going to call you?
I haven't. You know, I have. You only said that so you could tell me off later.
Or what?
She said, she goes, I hope you've done my tax forms. She knows full well that I'm not going to be doing tax forms while doing podcasts. Right. And now I'm heading back home again. And now I'm soaking wet. I haven't got a coat on. My glasses are covered in droplets of water. Oh, there's a great big lorry in the way. Oh, I'll get through that gap. That's good. Where do we get up to?
I'm sure
we were talking about Doctor Who somewhere along the line.
Yeah, we were.
We were playing with technology.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get this.
You're calling yourself.
I'm guaranteed to you, you will not get this on any other podcast, let alone Doctor Who podcast. Any other podcast.
Yeah, it's a first.
Outside podcasting.
I've heard outside podcasting before, but nothing quite like this.
You've done outside podcasting. Well, I've done sort of. When we used to do those podcasts in the Cardiff, if you remember, over the Wi-Fi. Slightly different to this. I wasn't actually driving around and speaking live on the show while doing it. So this is barking. This is really weird. Hang on, what's he barking at, though? Oh, maybe it's a postman. How can you see that? There's a postman across the road from where we are. She just posted something through... a letter of the house opposite, and he's barking. Right. It's really weird being able to hear Matt.
You have
me now, you donut. He's barking at me now.
Okay.
Hang on. I can't get out yet. There's a car coming. So. Right, now I can get out. I've got to start cooking the dog's dinner in a minute anyway. Right, so you might hear a bit of echoing in a minute, because I'm just about to enter the house. By which case, I'll have to end the phone call and resume normal. I've got to put the dinner's on. Dog's dinner. Hello, dogs. You shut up, Park. Yeah, you can look guilty. I was hearing everything of what you were saying just a minute ago. Yeah, right. end of phone call.
Ooh, echo.
So I've got to disconnect me. Echo. Headphones back on. Disconnect me or what? Hi.
Get closer to the microphone.
Get closer to the microphone. Sit down. Tread on the microphone.
That was interesting.
Hello. I'm back.
Hello.
Yeah, you're a little muffled.
What?
Muffled.
Get closer to the microphone.
What do you mean? I'm not muffled.
Well, you're soft.
Oh, no, you know why? Because when Mark Magic was barking, it's done that automatic silencing thing that I was telling you about earlier on. It should gradually get better and better.
There we go.
See?
Yeah.
See?
Yes.
I'm telling the truth.
Well, I hear it, not to hear.
Oh, very funny. It's funny you should say that, because my little tracer that's going across the screen, I can see and the monitor one, some wiggly lines that aren't as big as they were earlier on. So hopefully that'll recover itself. That's Magic's fault, not mine. I wanted to do the podcasts. But I've just realised I didn't open up the document before starting recording, so this actually might sort of do something to the recording of you two, so... hopefully not, but here we go. I'm just trying to open up the file. Hope it doesn't cause any problems with the master file.
Have you considered emailing it to yourself, and then you can open it up on any computer?
Now, the thing is, I did consider that, but unfortunately, I didn't get around to doing it. Which rather scuppers the plan. Right then, here we go. This is the... Now, I will let you know, listeners, that the Top 30.2 podcast is now compiled in a different way. We've had it off for a couple of weeks. Basically, it took too long to do it in the way... No, I used to do it, which was listing all the podcasts that came out in the last week on the .2 Podcast Alliance website. Now, the .2 Podcast Alliance website was down for a few days the first time I didn't do it, which obviously meant I couldn't do it. Then I was too busy the second time. But now, the way I'm doing it is basically... I look down the iTunes Doctor Who podcast charts
and then just click on them, and if the show's has come out in the last 7 days, I'll enter it into its position from 1 to 30. Much more logical way of doing it, don't you think?
I guess. Yeah.
That's what I think.
Sure, whatever you say.
That's why I've done it that way. Now, number 30 is the oncoming
Storm. Cue the music.
Cue the music. But the thing about it, you might not have heard some of these shows because they're not necessarily going to be part of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. So, number 30, the oncoming storm. Number 29, no ups or downs because we haven't had it for a couple of weeks, so we don't know. Yeah. Number 29, the Sonic Toolbox. Not the Sonic Stoolbox. Number 28, Under the Miniscope. Number 27, The Coltdom Collective. Number 26, The Time Meddlers. Number 25, A Mad Man with a Box. Number 24, Travelling the Vortex. Number 23, Blue Box Podcast. Number 22, Tim's Take On. Number 21, Staggering Stories. And into the top 20, we have One Man and His TARDIS. May not have heard of that one before, but
no, I haven't
for a while. Number 19, Doctor Who Revisited. May not have heard of that one before, but nevertheless, there it is.
Well, number 18, could revisit it.
Number 18 is Earth Station 1, which in fact I've always got this wrong. It's actually Earth Station Who, because Earth Station 1 have a
actually no project. No, you haven't gotten it wrong.
Have I
what
not?
They did, there is a podcast called Earth Station 1.
Yes, I know that.
They spun off a Who specific.
Yes, the Earth Station 1 one is not in the top 30, but the Earth Station Who, yes it is, but I didn't count that one. The Earth Station Who is actually higher up than Earth Station
right.
1, hence it's a number 18 position.
Earth Station 1, they will often talk about other things like comic books and other stuff, whereas Earth Station Who, as you can tell from the name, actually talks about Doctor Who. Imagine
well,
that.
I'm going to call them Earth Station 1. Number 17, Sound On Site.
I'll make sure that they call you up and complain.
Oh, I thought you would. Number 16, Hyperballs Who Hype.
Hey, what?
A great name for a podcast. Hyperballs Who Hype. That's number 16. Number 15, right. Doctor Who. Who's he? Number
14, I don't know. Who is he?
I don't know. Number 14, The Doctor's Companion. Number 13.
Which one?
I don't know.
Clara.
The new one. Is it, that's what their name is, Clara, is it?
We don't know.
Not confirmed. Number 13, Bad Wilf. Number 12, The Naked Scarf. Number 11, The Pharos Project. No, The Naked Scarf, as I said. Number 11, The Pharos Project. And into the big top 10. Number 10, The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Number 9, The Casterbrus Podcast. Number 8, Radio Rassilon.
Oh, it's just that con Casterbrus.
Eh?
Convention was called Con Casterbrus.
Oh, I didn't know they had a podcast attached to it.
No, they don't.
But it's good to see
people.
It's good to see the Radio Rassilon boys back. Number 7. It's The Memory Cheats. And yes, I have listened to one of their episodes. Thank God. Very good podcast.
And?
Yes?
It's good?
It is good.
Oh, yeah.
The Memory Cheats.
Very good, yes. Number 6. The Minute Doctor Who Podcast. That doesn't come out very often.
No, and it was, as usual, excellent.
Absolutely. Number 5. That's the postwoman. Sorry, that's now going to drown out my audio. Number 5, Impossible Podcasts.
That's impossible.
Number 4, the DWO WhoCast. Number 3, the Tin Dog Podcast. Number 2, Radio Free Scaro. And at number 1... it's the Doctor Who Podcast.
And you are most
Yay.
Welcome.
And you are most welcome. We really should do one of those, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Right, in the meantime, you two are going to talk while I set up the dog's dinners. Thank you very much, and see you in a moment.
What are we going to talk about this time?
Reese, I'll leave that one up to you.
Uh-oh.
I'm just setting up my iPod for the day here so that I've got stuff to listen to at work.
What are you putting on there?
I'm going through iTunes and checking to see what has downloaded over the weekend. Let's see. Got a new Tin Dog podcast, Comedy Forecast, which is an excellent comedy podcast. Doctor Who Geek Girls. Have we even... Oh, that's the Sonic Toolbox. That's right. So that one we have had in the list. Mm-hmm. There's the Doctor's Companion, episode 100.
Very wow.
Got a whole bunch of Disney podcasts as well that I listen to.
Huh.
And there's the Nerdist podcast, which I sometimes listen to. Sounds interesting.
They it is a pretty good podcast.
Yeah. You know, they occasionally do Doctor Who stuff, and you know, the main guy has been on Craig Ferguson several times.
Actually, I like the way in the charts as he was reading out, I think the third one, he said at number three, and Magic Factory is, and it sounded like a drum roll, but an ear flap.
Yes.
Hmm, what could we talk about?
Well, I'll tell you what to talk about. I thought it might have been a good idea to run over on various items of gossip that you may or may not have heard in relation to Doctor Who, because there certainly seems to be odds and ends floating around the Whoniverse, some of which I have, and some of which I haven't heard of. So, anybody heard anything?
No.
Obviously not.
God's sake.
I've been busy. I've been at a convention.
Mm. You've been what? I've been at a convention. I thought you said you'd been in detention. I thought, really, you're not... Terribly naughty. Right, okay, then I'll see if I can use this this fangled iMac to see if I can record, Skype, and I've got some audio feedback that's come over. Oh, my goodness. Let's see if I can use some... Oh, well, while I'm doing that, I'll see if I can get the Doctor News up. Audio feedback has just arrived saying, sorry, it's late, I overslept. I've heard of some excuses in my time. You'll find out in a minute. I'm just going to type in those... magical words on the Google thing, Doctor Who, and click on this thing here that says Doctor Who News. Right then, let's see if I can get Alicia's computer to work, because that is the magical thing that actually, oh my god, I've left the speaker on, which will provide us with this bit of, can you stop growling?
Sorry.
Some news came up. James Corden, he's won a Tony Award for Best Actor in One Man, Two Governors. I saw this on the news this morning. How superb! I'm so chuffed for him. Really am. Because it's obviously known for a few different types of work. No, writer, actor, TV presenter. But obviously, primarily, he's an actor. And he was chuffed a bit. You can tell in the interview how absolutely amazed he was to get this award, and I think now because he's got some recognition in the US, you're going to see him in films rather like Ricky Gervais and Russell Brand and people like that have been in American movies now, and more power to him. Well done, James Corden. I meant to tweet to him actually, because very proud of him, because obviously he is a Doctor Who actor, having appeared in two Doctor Who stories, and hopefully more to come.
Those are the only things I've ever seen him in.
Well, he's certainly worth looking at, especially for Gavin and Stacey. I've only seen a couple of episodes of Gavin and Stacey. He's written it and he's in it. But I've always been a great big fan of James Corden. I think he's a wonderful chap. He comes across as a very nice man, he generally plays characters of that ilk. Great news for that. That's probably the main news that has come to mind. I can't get this computer to boot up. Why is it not starting up? I didn't use up all the battery.
It needs power.
Oh, evidently. Oh, good grief. Technical problems, listeners. Am I the only one that's got Doctor Who News? Oh, I've just got my microphone. DoctorWhoNews.net up at the moment.
I'll bring it up. Hang on.
Thank you very much, because I need to plug in Alicia's computer. Because you will be wanting to hear this audio feedback.
I will. Yeah.
Well, I hope
so. We will.
Yes. You carry on. Just put my microphone down, because I need two hands for this job.
Not again.
Normally I do this in the opposite order than we're actually doing it at the moment, because there's lots of bits of non-interesting news, like fans discounts.
So if you'll scroll down, the other official photo is taken basically at the same place.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the proper official photo. I wonder, you can still see crew in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, she cute.
Oh, and there's the thing with the slab costume. This is where I saw it.
Ah,
you keep going down.
Keep going down. Yes. There's a few costumes there.
Yes.
Is that a doctor costume? And is that the outfit? Let's see what it says, actually. Might help, wouldn't it?
Tooth and Claw. That's a maid's outfit from Tooth and Claw.
That's it. Robe form outfit from Runaway Bride. Slab costume from Smith and Jones. Yeah. Dalek documentary discovered. That's what I just spoke about in the last episode, so I don't think I need to talk about that again.
And there's a picture of the five doctors.
The Weeping Angels were voted fans' favourite ever monsters. Oh dear, they can't have watched that many episodes of Doctor Who, can they? Doctor Who at the BBC Appeal. Audiogo has launched their second ever Doctor Who at the BBC Appeal and are keen to hear from anyone who has an off-air recordings of Doctor Who related items from BBC television and radio programmes, particularly those recorded in the 60s. Now, it's quite interesting that at the time, if you recorded something off TV, it was sort of illegal. Even though you could buy video recorders and stuff like that, it was technically illegal. Now, they're quite pleased you've done it, and they want the recordings back as well. So that's quite interesting, you know. I find that.
Well, if people hadn't recorded the audio of the invasion, we wouldn't have had
exactly the
ability to get the cartoon versions of it.
All right, bear with me. I mean, it's not as if
there's a bear with you.
Shut up.
Are there bears on?
It's not as if this sort of thing doesn't normally happen on this show. Right, I'm going to have to trust my phone. One, to actually play this piece of audio, and two, not for anybody to ring me during the time I'm attempting to play this audio. Right. Now, I'm trying to juggle. I've got a microphone in my left hand. I've got a phone in my right hand. Where's Gmail on here? Ah, there it is. Right. Wish me luck. I do hope this works.
Good luck.
Here we go. I'm selecting the email. I'm selecting the...
file?
The attached file. I'm playing said attached file within the next few seconds. In case you're going to get zapped, please brace yourself.
Oh dear.
Indeed.
Here's me, brain the size of a planet, and this is all I get to do without even the fun anymore of giving you a zap. Anyway, you have a message connecting you now. Whoops. I did not mean to do that. Connecting you now.
Final report of the audio feedback. The Tesser reporting. We have been mega-zapped. The other members of the audio feedback, Jim the Fish and Cyber Ben, are all gone. Pizza and Simon Clark, destroyed. I should reach the frontier in about 6 weeks. With a little luck, the Galactic Network will pick me up. This is Natasha, last survivor of the audio feedback.
No!
Signing off.
No!
What? I've overslept. Looks like Natasha can sabotage the audio feedback, even while I'm asleep. Well, just time to ask, if you 20 megabiters could have any character from the whole history of Doctor Who on the 20 megabyte podcast, who would be your dream guest? This is Jim the Fish, signing out.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
No, you have a nice day. That's an easy one for me, Tom Baker.
Yes, absolutely.
I think the show would end if we ever got Tom Baker, and that would be the final episode. And this final episode of the 20 Megabyte Podcast, our special guest, Tom Baker, and then we'll have to start up a new podcast. That would be the ultimate one for me.
Well, I don't think it would end, actually, if you had Tom Baker on here. You'd just ask him a question, he could go off forever.
Yeah,
that's right.
Probably devote a few podcasts to Tom being on, I reckon. But my Skype thing's making awfully terrible noises. I have to investigate why it's going bong. Bong. Any idea what bong bong means on Skype?
Is it that boom boom with Basil Brush?
No, I just think, you know, when you get Skype credit and it refreshes itself, well, that phone call I did to myself not only used up the £2.70, but also a further £4.30 of credit.
Oh dear.
Oh dear indeed. Oh, blast. Never mind, it was a good laugh.
Now you'll have to explain the need to pay it.
Yeah, well, it'll come up on the phone bill, won't it? And it'll just say Skype, and Deb will say, "What's this Skype?" That was Kirby.
Oh, it's my fault. That's right.
Well, I've got messages and I can't access them. That's the only drawback. I don't know what's going on with this. What's that? Oh. Hang on, there's a button there. So if I press it, show sidebar. Ooh. Ah, nothing. It's funny, it just makes funny noises, and it's not, I don't know why it makes the funny noises. Anyway, that concludes the news item for this week, listeners. Let's see what happens.
So no written feedback?
It's just done it again. It just went bong, bong. You can't hear it, can you?
No.
I can. Alright, I'm just typing something in. I'm leaning over. I've got about four computers on the go here.
You don't want to burn one. Oh, wait.
I'll count them in a minute to make sure I've got that right. I've got the iMac. I've got the broken computer, or the one that Deb broke. I've got my one that I generally edit the show on, and Alicia's one that's not actually on. So three. I've got three computers on the go at the moment. oh, Star's whining. What's the matter, Star? Star? Star's whining in the other room. Okay, let's see what we've got on Doctor Who, because I haven't actually looked at eBay for ages. I'm just curious to see what things people are trying to sell at the moment on eBay in relation to Doctor Who. Whether people are selling stuff that... Did you hear that? No, you didn't, did you? You'll hear it on the show. You'll be hearing what the mysterious boong, boong... And listeners, if you know what the mysterious boong, boong noise actually means, let me know. It might be something GarageBand just telling me I've gone past another minute. Right. By the way, this will be the last thing I do, so you will be able to get to work at some point today, Kirby.
Okay.
here we go. Oh, isn't it fast? God, I just clicked on that and it instantly loaded up. That's my iMac, listeners. Very quick piece of machinery, capable of doing a window with eBay on it, Skype, and recording all at the same time. And talking.
Yay.
I've just said that. I said Skype, didn't I? Right then. So number one item on eBay this week... it's a full-size Doctor Who Genesis-style Dalek, listed at £2,500. And it's got a Buy It Now offer on it. So, come on, get your wallets out.
I don't think so.
No.
But the item that's the most expensively listed item with bids against it, and this is quite unusual because it's £1,000, collection only, this is a 9/10 size TARDIS, practically full size, and it's signed by P. So I have to click on just while I've got a, just while I've got a popping shield in front of the microphone on that occasion, because I really did spit straight into it. It says, "Yeah, signed by Peter Davison." Apparently,
I'm going to call him there from now on, Peter Davison.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. I see your popping shield's working nicely. It's right in front in someone's bedroom, with the looks of things. It's only just fitting under the ceiling. Very, very nice.
Have they kidnapped Peter Davison and
I'm sure at some point that will happen.
Can I kiss Peter Davison?
Do you want me? I can sample that
no.
question and send it off to him, maybe via Toby Hayden. I'm sure Toby's in contact.
Adam, you know what we're referring to, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
The second item with bids against it at £210 plus a massive £7 postage, four bids for this one. It's the original BBC MFX Millennium FX Doctor Who Sonic Screwdriver. So let's have a look. This looks like the metal version, is it? Let's see what it says in the blurb. Description. Brand new, unused, unopened, undamaged item. No, that doesn't really say much, does it? Millennium FX prop Sonic Screwdriver. So it must be metal then. Limited to 500 pieces, this prop matches the real Sonic screwdriver used by David Tennant throughout his tenure as the Good Time Lord. Oh, strange way of wording it. Made from brass, aluminium and acrylic, with an authentic crackle effect central section, each hand-sprayed item by Neil Gorton himself at MFX, this exquisite prop was released by Millennium FX in 2009. All are now sold out and hard to come by, especially in this new condition. It is nice. Yeah. But £210, slightly out of my price range. But I tell you, if I won the lottery, and bear in mind the Euro Millions was £117 million, I think, this week. If I'd got that, I would have bought that. Yeah, so I got slightly sidetracked in there. But it's probably one of the nicest items I've seen on eBay, actually. Right, and the third item with bids against it.
and just before I murder Star, who's whinging for no reason whatsoever. mind you, she's a girl. I am surrounded by girls, Reese. I am estrogen dosed with all the females in this house. Me and Magic are sat in the corner on our own, surrounded by them. You can tell why Magic looks so harrowed at the age of 5. Anyway, third item, remote and voice controlled interactive electronic Dalek. That's the 18-inch version of the one I have. I have the sort of brassy gold coloured one. This one's the black Dalek Sec one, and it's listed at £102 plus £16.99 postage, which tempts me into flogging my one, actually, because that's quite a lot of money. I only paid £40 for mine. Oh no, I didn't, it was £60. Still, second hand item, not in box, £102 plus £16 postage is quite good. And that's it, that concludes eBay for this week, and it concludes the podcast as well. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back on, Reese. It's been nice having you back, like, as it was nice to have Ben back a couple of weeks ago, even if it was in a sort of just me and him situation. And I look forward to when you are no longer doing your drama sort of lessons for a while, so you can be on the show a bit more often.
Yes, so do I.
And now I have to go and stop the dog's dinner from burning.
Okay.
Can you smell it yet?
Is that Rolf Harris we had online this then? Hello, Rolf.
No.
Oh, so I thought it was. So.
Oh, dear.
American listeners, Google Rolf Harris, and then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Kirby, thank you for coming on. Thank you for getting up early, and thank you for all your help. And if you want to talk more about your convention next week, I'll be glad to listen to it.
Okay.
And until next week, when we'll be talking about the Shakespeare Code, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And just after that, you get the boom-doom. Boom-doom.
Megabyte.2 podcast is an APV Services production, is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.